Hello and welcome to episode 59 of Unfunny Nerd Tangent. We are your symbiotic host, part Greg, part Captain Boomerang, guiding you through today's show all about the new Tom Hardy movie, Venom. We have a three-man panel today to discuss the film, and first up, he's looking for his own symbiote to help heal his body and allow him to ride motorcycles again, but if he ever finds one, there's sure to be carnage. Kosher carnage, that is. He's the super Jew, Jared Rabinovitz.
Oh, I will absolutely wreck a Jewish deli or two's carnage.
Well, that's true.
I might actually do it now, but that's a whole different thing.
You can slice the brisket so thin with
your draw me.
Axe hands.
Just eat it while it's in the brine before it's cooked. Yeah.
In the cow.
Next up, eyes, lungs, pancreas. So many snacks, so little time. The next episode of Dates is going to be very interesting. From attackofthedad.com, it's Tim Agni.
I'm just disappointed Venom doesn't sound like Bane.
Yeah. Not yet. And last but not least, joining us once again, he has two arms, two legs, and likes to roll down the street like a turd in the wind. He's Matteo Morales.
You shit. I come on this show as a guest, and I always get my ass handed to me in the first 30 seconds.
To be fair, it's better than your fantasy. Your fantasy teams, you get your ass handed to yourself when you set the lineup.
Oh,
so.
God, that's not even... Screw Tom Brady.
No, no, we've officially brought fantasy football into the podcast.
Yeah, oh. It's all over. I got it out of the way early.
I'll call my peeps, and we'll sit here and discuss why Tom Brady should go.
We will not discuss that.
Yeah, we're not. We'll discuss your poor decision-making skills, but we're not discussing that.
Well, I did go watch this movie, so let's say.
All right, well, let's dive in, because this is going to be very interesting, I think. So I'd like to get a little bit of knowledge, or what your knowledge is of the Venom character from the comics, basically, guys. I know that we did give our thoughts on Spider-Man 3, essentially back in episode 23, and our homecoming review and all that kind of stuff, but... a quick recap on the version of Venom that we got in that movie, I guess from you, Matteo, because you weren't on that show.
Dude, okay. I guess my entire feeling of this entire thing can be summed up in words that Jared spoke as we walked out of the theater. Well, Tom Hardy did what he could do with that script. And I'm like... Yeah, so what are we going to go do next? It was like, I wanted so much from the comics side of Venom. Venom was Marvel's first really fun character, right? Like, there's the, Venom predates Deadpool, doesn't he?
That's what I was just wondering in my head.
I think so. Yeah. I think Venom, yeah, he does. Venom predates Deadpool. So the asshole, wonderful, like, character. Was like, boom, we got Venom first. And that was the real spawning of, okay, comic book readers like will love a dark comic. We'll look a dark comic with a bright side. Let's make fun of ripping off someone's head kind of thing. It takes a special kind of dark sense of humor to kind of love that. There was a lot built into the comics. They were great. I mean, I think I still have maybe six or seven of the really poignant ones still in their acid-free bags. And I was super, super excited when Spider-Man 3 came out. And I'm like, we're going to get to see some action. And we're going to get to see the CGI really put into effect. And when that one happened, I was like, oh, okay. I see where he's kind of going with it. Let's see how it goes about. What happened for me the other night was that we as... comic book lovers and moviegoers have become spoiled by amazing scripts, amazing actors doing wonderful parts, and even the bit characters having depth. Dude, this shit was as shallow as like, oh, I wanted some character development. Maybe an interesting backstory element that wouldn't have been. If you're going to reboot a character, you do that. There was none of that. This, to me, felt like and looked like Spawn, circa 1990-something, fed to us in 2018 is what it felt like to me.
What I think we've been spoiled by, like, two things. One is movies that just draw from, like, the best of what the comic books have to offer. They dig deep to get some of the best storylines, just the best kind of moments, and we get a movie that is in a lot of ways like the greatest hits on screen. Not always. Like, there are a lot of new ideas that come through, especially in these Marvel movies, but a lot of times we really get what we as comic book readers want. But then the other thing that we've been spoiled by are these shared universes. And what Venom is...
No. What one place spoils us with the shared universe, the other tortures us with it. But continue.
But the thing is, there's more in that universe that you can want. Like, there's, like, out of the DC universe, we're still going to get Shazam, and then I think people are kind of stoked about that. We're still going to get Aquaman. Like, there's...
And he keeps pushing that shit.
It's because he thinks he looks like Jason Momoa. Just let him have it.
I got the beard. I got the beard.
He worked out a little harder. Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Yeah. I'm getting there. I'm working on it. I can't appropriate all the tats, unfortunately. I gotta come up with some original.
The lats and the belts, though. You can hit the bench and get them.
Thanks. Anyway, with the shared universes, though, we've got these stories that intertwine, interconnect. And the thing about Venom, the most interesting thing about that character is his relationship to Spider-Man and how he sort of comes about as being this antithesis to Spider-Man and how he shares that connection with him. And Sony has the rights to all these Spider-Man characters, but for some reason could not make Venom work with the larger Marvel universe. They're only getting, I guess, Spider-Man in that regard. So we get a Venom that is completely divorced from any of the other characters that make Venom interesting, which makes it a standalone movie in the vein of Halle Berry's Catwoman.
Ooh.
more so than the Marvel movies that we're used to.
Dude, that swung low. That one was swung low. But you know what? I'm gonna have to agree with you. It's in a vein of any of those movies that took a swing. There's a couple out there. A couple more comic book movies that took a swing at it without
Daredevil, Elektra.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need some but, comic book
well,
characters.
Daredevil at least had, like, more than one character. You know, like, Catwoman was a one-character movie. Daredevil had Elektra, it had Bullseye, it had Kingpin. Like, it had the characters that you want to see in a Daredevil movie. There's two characters that you want to see in a Venom movie besides Venom, and it's Spider-Man and Carnage, and we sort of got Carnage.
The thing is that we don't want to admit it. One of the favorite parts of our love for comic book characters is that they're codependent. Sometimes they need that other. You gotta have a Lex Luthor if you're gonna have Superman, right? You gotta have this codependent relationship that says that there's this overwhelming force and a reason to exist. And there was a money reason for Venom to exist because the people wanted it, but I don't know if they're gonna want Venom 2. Right? Only within the matter that you get a sprightly look at the fact that Woody Harrelson's could be the man.
Tobias Beckett.
Is that it? Thanks.
From our solo episode.
Yeah. And actually, he looked like he was playing it almost the same, if you noticed.
He looked like...
He was playing it almost the same.
We're jumping all over the place, Greg. Sorry about this. Well, you had some kind like of... He's got some kind of structure. Range. Let's
What is it? Tom Cruise plays Tom Cruise. Woody Harrelson is going to play Woody Harrelson.
That was Woody Harrelson playing Anthony Hopkins playing Hannibal Lecter.
It looked like Woody Harrelson playing Anthony Hopkins, but dressed up as the Aurora, Colorado shooter, James Holmes. Like, I really didn't like that. Like, that I felt like it's way too soon to have somebody look like that.
Oh,
and especially, like, while we're all going to see a superhero movie.
But does he look like that in the comics? How does that look compared to the comics? That one I don't know.
He's got a flame hair going thing going on, doesn't he?
He's got the red hair, but does Greg, do you know about this? Does he have, like, the curly mop of, like, clown hair?
Not to that extent. He does kind
no,
of
No, he like, doesn't. He's kind
of... He's definitely got red hair, but it's more of just like sort of just standard comic book hair.
I don't know if anybody else...
There are a couple of instances where I guess I'm thinking of now where you could sort of say, yeah, he does have that sort of big...
Here's the hair, thing.
I guess it's the more like, as like the Carnage symbiote sort of, you know, messes with him a bit more, and it sort of, they start to make him a bit crazy. It's what comics do, you know, when get across the point that a character is losing his mind, they tend to accentuate features and things like that, and hair is usually one of the first ones.
His, what I'm seeing in like the old 90s comic drawings here, just on like Google image searches, he has very like flamboyant and like red orange hair, but it's messy, but it's straight.
Yes, it's not, but it's like supposed to be like flames, isn't it? It's like supposed to like come up in different.
Well, when the symbiote is sort of taken over his dome there, yeah, but not like.
But
the way he looked in this movie.
He's got Mr. Glass hair in this. Like,
well,
really,
but it really red. It really looked to me like that one particular mass shooter, and that's really unsettling to me that they would make that choice.
I got something for you guys. Do you know, like in really good stand-up comics, they make the audience the joke? I kind of feel coming out of that movie like we got played.
I
sat through it. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was funny. But, I mean, it didn't leave anything to be. The same desire for a sequel like the other Marvel institutions do. Like, you want to hear that. That feeling like, ooh, I want to see more.
Well, here's the problem. We all knew going in. That wasn't it. I think going in, we all expected that the movie was going to be shit because we kind of saw it from the trailers. And maybe it's just me. Everything we've said is correct. It had no depth to the characters. It was very flat. But at the same time, it was what you just said. It was enjoyable for 2 hours. It was not. It's not a.
So was it worth the ticket?
I think it was worth the ticket. Yes, okay. Because
I'll
here's
back
the thing.
Up what you're saying, Jared? Yeah. Because I honestly liked it.
Yeah,
like, I agree. It's not a great film or anything like that, but it was entertaining. It was fun. It's not like, I wouldn't say to anyone like, oh, they nailed it, you know, or anything like that. But I watched it and went, oh yeah, that was cool. And then if they announced another one tomorrow and they said, yeah, okay, we are going to do that movie with Carnage and all that, I'd be like, oh, cool. All right.
My thing is, it was enjoyable as a movie for 2 hours to go watch. It was not, as a fan, it was a good, it was a comic movie that didn't, the story wasn't great, but it wasn't atrocious. The actor, I think we came away lacking from it. I don't think we came away hating what they went, the movie product itself. We hate what it didn't get to. Because the story, it was a fairly cohesive storyline. The storyline, you know, wasn't all over the place. It seemed to go from point A to point B in a reasonable comic movie fashion. It not a high level comic movie. It's better than the Marvel Hulk movies. I'd rather watch this again than either of the Hulk movies, the Banner one or the Ed Norton one. I think it was more enjoyable than either of those.
Okay, because it was funny.
Because it was funny. You know, there were good points of it. I think there were some issues with casting. There were some issues with script. The real thing was, is they were hampered by the fact that we all know and want the comic to be the Venom, the anti-hero who plays against Spider-Man. They couldn't do that. What they had to do was they had to make a movie driven by Venom as somebody who is an anti-hero, but the star of the movie, which is a hard thing to achieve. Go for it.
I was just going to say, like, the way you're describing it, it sounds sort of like the review I saw. The best review I saw said that Venom is basically Little Shop of Horrors with a 90s Jim Carrey in an early 2000s style superhero buddy cop film. And I'm like... Then afterwards, I was like, that's a pretty accurate description. But then again, what's not to like about that? I was like, I'm on board.
This, I think if you made this movie and gave us this movie in 2003,
We'd be blowing up.
We'd be blowing up. The other problem is, and you brought this up, we've gotten two very good Deadpool movies.
In a row.
And they're comparable in a way as that wisecracking type of smartass, kind of the anti-hero type role.
Deadpool, the first Deadpool feels like it did more with less.
But I agree.
Less money, less...
Right, yeah.
But again, Deadpool, that first Deadpool was a rock star movie that was, 10 years in development with Ryan Reynolds, the star attached to that.
And it had to fight tooth and nail to get it made.
This was a movie that the studio felt they needed to make because they didn't own the rights to most of their stuff much anymore. And they want that piece of the pie. They did the smart thing, which is they sold Spider-Man back to, or they leased Spider-Man back to Marvel because they wanted a cut of that Avengers money, which is the smarter play than spending a ton of money.
They don't actually get it though. It's more to so here's how it works, right? They loan out Spider-Man to Marvel and Marvel get to use Tom Holland in their Avengers movies. And Marvel and Disney, whoever, they keep all that money. Then they make, basically Marvel goes and makes Homecoming for Sony. They slap the Sony label on it, and Sony gets to keep all that money as well.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying the Avengers money as in that franchise money, not the actual Avengers movies.
Oh, I see.
But they get that rub. They get the production. They get the scripting. They get the character access that they need. They get, you get Robert Downey Jr. to be able to show up in your film. You get all that when you put Spider-Man back. Rather than trying to have to fight the current, and do it on your own, which wasn't working, you've struck out, two out of five times. Do you really get another one? Because, Spider-Man 1 and 2 were pretty good. Yeah. 3 sucked. The first new one, The Amazing Spider-Man, the first one was okay, and the second one sucked. So, and sucked really bad. So I don't think they really wanted to take that chance.
You don't like the Rhino? Oh, come on. No.
So they had a problem, but they also had characters that there is name recognition to, which is Venom. They've wanted to do this spinoff, the Sinister Six and all that stuff for a while, and they needed an entry port for that.
They're going to go for that after this?
I don't know. I don't know after this.
Venom 2 is going to be called Venom Maximum Carnage. It's going to be will be the title of the movie. Venom : Maximum Carnage.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like everything all in red. And it's splattery.
And that could give me, because here's the thing. This movie, I'm not walking out of this movie saying, I will not go see another Venom movie. No. It was not bad enough to do that. It wasn't as bad as some of the DC films.
On a technical level, a great criticism that I've seen leveled at Suicide Squad, and this is like you can't argue with this. Captain Boomerang's got his fucking unicorn, right? And in his intro, they're talking about he's got his unicorn. He's like, at one point in the movie, is like looking inside of his coat, making sure his unicorn's okay, walking around with his unicorn. Later on in the movie, there's a big fight scene inside that office building or whatever. Captain Boomerang gets shot, goes down. He gets back up, reaches into his coat. Something has stopped the bullet. Only it's not the unicorn. Yeah. It's just a fucking stack of bills. And that's a huge editing fuck up where they've failed on that continuity to make the unicorn relevant again. And really after that, we never see the unicorn again in the movie. It's an example of how Suicide Squad was such a hot mess.
Well, and that speaks to kind of what I was saying with Venom is, so Suicide Squad had a lot of stuff. It set up a lot of things, and it never delivered on any of it. What Venom did was it very obviously gave you every bit and paid pretty much all of it off, and they gave you one extra thing.
What I noticed about Venom while I was watching it is in the very beginning of the movie, he buys a bottle of Pepto-Bismol.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, this had better be a fucking Chekhov's Pepto-Bismol. Like, he better have diarrhea later, and he does. Yep. And I appreciate that Venom did that.
The foreshadowing to be correct?
Right, yeah. It's like, yeah, it's when he's sitting there.
Why aren't you doing movie continuity? You should just be doing continuity. Be like, okay, if you're going to buy that shit.
But that's an example of like Venom, it's not a poorly made film by any stretch.
They didn't have the depth of the characters, and I think part of it was because they were so focused on having to set up this new continuity of how he gets the symbiote and all that stuff, and without Spider-Man, that they didn't focus enough on the depth of the character, which. This may be another one where they can add that later. Because we did see little ripples with his relationship with, I'm blanking on her name.
Anne.
Mary Jane, whatever you want to call her.
Yeah. So they did that. You've got, you know, the Mrs. Chang and the Chen.
You racist.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, you blame me for that one. Anyway. Yeah. So and there's things that can continue to kind of weave together that could add that depth later. Because, you know, you kind of got a little bit about him, his background with the, you know, reporting. You got a little bit of Eddie in there, and then you did the Venom stuff.
I got one for you guys. Was Tom Hardy the right choice?
No, but I don't know who the right choice is. That's the other side of it.
Because he can't tell a joke like Reynolds. Like his timing didn't feel. It felt like
Then he shouldn't be Deadpool either.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, like, I guess.
Like he should be more of a vicious monster that then sort of.
Who voiced Venom?
It's Tom Hardy.
It's through all kinds of voice features. But I will say this: he's a better Eddie Brock than Topher Grace.
Yeah, well, Eddie Buzzy, that's played differently. Like that's because, so true.
Like your typical Eddie Brock though is meant to be a bit of a dick. And he's an antagonist for Peter Parker before he ever gets the symbiote. So basically, you're meant to be like, oh well, Spider-Man rejects the suit and it finds a new host. And when it finds Eddie, you're meant to be like, oh no, not him, because he's such a dick and all that. So that it then latches onto all his sort of negative personality traits and things like that. And that's why he's, you know, more evil and things like he is. And they sort of did that in Spider-Man 3, but the problem with Spider-Man 3 is it was just too rushed. If that had been Spider-Man 3 and the whole thing had been basically a lead up to Venom, it probably would have been a lot better than having Sandman and the Harry Osborn stuff. And there's just too much going on.
Yeah, if they had just done a fourth movie, basically, where at the very end of Spider-Man 3, he shakes off that alien costume and then has to go confront the Green Goblin, like that might have been all right.
Yeah, that scene where the 70s show kid gets the symbiote and turns into Venom and sort of leaps at the camera. Like that could have been the end of the movie, you know, and then Spider-Man 4 could have been the whole thing.
Eric.
Dumbass.
It might be better now after seeing him play, what's his name? Fucking KKK Grand Wizard asshole.
He played David Duke.
David Duke was so good in Black Klansman. Maybe now him being
such an idiot.
Venom might make sense, but back when he was still
he just needed to grow up a little bit.
Eric, yeah. Back when he was getting his ass kicked on the basketball
court. But Eddie Brock should be the kind of guy who might just throw a punch at a bar,
Speaking of that, though, why wasn't this art?
Oh,
this was like PG-13,
well,
right?
It was going to be, and that's why they've cut. Well, Tom Hardy came out just before the movie was released and said, My favorite 40 minutes of the movie got cut out.
Oh my god, I hope there's a director's
cut. And so everybody went, oh god, this is going to be a piece of shit.
So
they cut out the best 40 minutes. It's like, no, they cut out his favorite 40 minutes. But Tom Hardy's like an actor, so his favorite 40 minutes might be him staring at the mirror.
There's also
acting, like watch me act, or crying on the toilet or something. Like there's a lot of choices that actors like, that aren't necessarily the best parts of a movie. But in saying that, they've obviously cut a lot of violence and swearing and stuff like that because...
Can you imagine?
You can just tell. But the reason is because they want to include Tom Holland as Spider-Man in another movie somewhere, and they know that they're not going to ever get that done if, like, they're never going to get a Tom Holland Spider-Man in an R-rated Venom movie.
Why not?
If you start with an R-rated movie and then you go, now it's PG to sort of keep up with Spider-Man, then people are going to go, oh, fuck this. So they thought, well, we'll start with PG-13.
Hey, Greg.
And see how
what would happen if you cut this show to be PG-13?
It'd be down to about 10 minutes.
Like 10 minutes long. See? Yeah. Hello, it's just not that fun.
Thanks for listening.
Yoshi would never be allowed on again.
Yep. Brian. Adam. Yeah.
It'd be Tim.
We couldn't talk about Taco Bell. I'm sitting here talking about fucking James Holmes over
there. No, there was hard. You just lost it.
Tim's talking about how great it was that Venom had diarrhea, so I'm not sure Tim's going to be...
I'm standing by the diarrhea. That was a well-done scene.
Have amazing on Milfma t-shirts at stillgameshop.com.
Yeah.
I also want to point out that never forget that Jared Leto says there's a two-hour Joker movie somewhere in the cut footage from Suicide Squad.
Nice.
Here's the problem. We're actually getting a two-hour Joker film from Jared Leto.
Oh.
We're getting Jared Leto.
I don't think we will, Joey. I don't think it's going to happen.
Oh, no, we're
definitely getting Joaquin Phoenix. I still don't believe it's real, but apparently it's real.
I think it's Joaquin Phoenix and Casey Affleck trolling us again.
You're probably right. It will turn out that director Todd Phillips was just Casey Affleck all along. Well,
nice.
Martin Scorsese doesn't even know what's going on. He's not in on the joke.
Well, I did like this movie. I thought it stuck pretty close to the character from the comics, besides the origin that involves Spider-Man, of course. But I mean, that's okay. I mean, I think if you're going to skip the Spider-Man stuff, they've sort of done the best version of that, if that they could, really. And again, without going berserk with the sort of gore and violence, it's sort of as close as you're going to get, I suppose, to Venom from the comics. But I did think it was a little bit different, where the symbiote is kind of Venom on its own almost in this movie, where I'm used to the idea that the symbiotes are just sort of the goo and these little creature things. But then once they attach to a person, so like there's the symbiote, then there's Eddie, and then together they're Venom. That's why it's all we this and we that. It's not I. Like at one point he goes, "Hi, Eddie, I'm Venom." And it's like, oh, all right, that's a bit different. But again, you know, if you're going to be one of these people that sits there and goes, that is not exactly the same as the comics, and therefore it's bad, then get ready to throw all your MCU Blu-rays in the bin, because there's multiple things in all of those movies that aren't the same as the comics. And sometimes they're better and sometimes they're just different. So
I think the one thing there is that, you know, a lot of us, you know, with Venom, with the symbiote, it's supposed to bring out your deepest, darkest side. It's kind of what it's, you know, the comic book way it's explained, which kind of takes away some of that character depth from Eddie. Is it that side of the personality isn't Eddie? It isn't part of him coming out. It is all passed to the symbiote. I don't mind it, because I believe there is, I was reading something that there is a comic book backing to that these are, they're alien life forms, and they do kind of have these kind of personalities themselves that they do need the host. So, and that may be a newer thing, but...
Well, you had to see it because Venom knew that Riot had all this cool shit. He's he's got some shit you haven't seen.
Some
shit, by the way, that is 100% all of Carnage's shit. Yeah. So it's like, what are they going to show us in the Carnage movie when we've already got the big axe hands and all the stuff that Carnage
was doing? Blowing things away.
One thing I did like is the trailer made it seem like that was Venom doing that stuff. Maybe that was me that I thought.
Well, the trailer, in one of the trailers, they showed the shot of like Venom fighting Riot, where like the symbiotes were kind of up off the dudes and they were kind of up against each other. So you could tell there was going to be some other Venom, and I think they made pretty clear that it wasn't going to be Carnage, because if it was Carnage, it would have to be Red.
Yeah. I wasn't too, like, I know of Venom and I know of Carnage, and I wasn't too familiar with Riot as a name for another symbiote. I know there's other ones like called Toxin. There's Toxin, and I think there's a bunch, but I think there's one called like Hybrid or.
So you guys remember the names. All I remember is the colors. It's like a black, a silver, a yellow, a red.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure
of Toxin. So when, of Riot. So when they said like, oh, he's Riot, I'm like, oh, okay, but yeah, there you go.
And we still have Ironmonger.
Because there was, I think there was one more sample that survived. I thought there was a silver one too. So
there might be the other one. Yeah, because when I saw like the blue one come out and I saw the yellow one come out, I'm like, oh shit, they're gonna go down these roads all these different ways they could. But then they just let them die, and I was like, okay.
Here's the other thing that was really weird that I don't get. They spent so much time on the Life Foundation trying to get these symbiotes to attach to people. And then really easily Venom went and was able to switch from Eddie to what's her name?
The rabbit and the dog and the
Anne's able to take the symbiote, and there's no issues there. And then the backstory of Riot getting to them, that whole thing was just overwrought. The small girl and stuff.
I thought the connection was that they just had to eat live food. Though they weren't eating live food in the quarantine. Once they got outside, they were able to consume some type of live food, and they were able to keep moving.
I thought that's what was going on. As soon as they eat live food, it was good to go. That is a thing, but like they didn't quite make that clear. It seemed like that they weren't finding the correct host, because they said something about it's like a liver transplant.
Eddie ate the chicken. Right, eat the chicken, he's like, dead. Yeah. And he's like, dead. And he's eating the liver inside because it's alive.
But what I'm saying is, yes, there is that. There is what they consume. The problem is that when they were doing the stuff with the Life group, they said it's like a transplant where if the host is rejecting. That is one thing that didn't line up in the story. It kind of clashed there.
They didn't do a good job establishing those rules. It's like they kind of set them out and then they threw them all away. That is one example of where they didn't really stick with
it. I just thought they were getting it wrong.
Eddie did probably deposit some DNA in Anne early in the movie. So maybe there's there you go.
Hey, Greg, what I was happy about?
PG-13.
That this movie held up to the fact that all evil people have some type of English Commonwealth accent. That's what I was really happy about. Like, we're going to make the Indian guy the evil guy, and he's got an English Oxford accent. Thank you.
It's like Martin Shkreli mixed with Elon Musk, but he's an Indian guy.
But he's an Indian guy.
That's the Star Wars effect, really.
Let's make him white-ish Indian.
I mean, they really should have just cast Elon for that role, because, I mean, that's really what they were going for, right?
Now, you know what? There wasn't a lot of depth to that character either. If Elon Musk had played that character, he would have probably fucking killed
him. Yeah. But Elon Musk in the mainline Marvel Cinematic Universe, Elon Musk is already Elon Musk. Don't forget. He's a character in the...
Oh, that's right.
He meets Tony Stark in Monaco or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, lucky bastard.
I forgot about that.
I was sad that they killed NBA Hall of Famer Steve Nash in that first test. I was like, not Steve Nash.
Wait, what? Is that who you thought the guy looked like?
He looked like Steve Nash.
Come on, Steve Nash isn't that bad.
He looked like a hobo. Steve Nash.
That is a joke that's really not going to work outside the Phoenix area.
Yeah. He's busting on Canadian. Isn't Steve Nash Canadian?
Yeah, Derek would have loved that joke. Yeah, he's Canadian.
Keep knocking on the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
But did you see the... Did you see the Man-Wolf cameo for Spider-Man comic fans?
Where was that?
No.
Well, I say Man-Wolf, it's not really. When the spaceship at the start, well, the rocket thing crashes and they're like, oh, we've got to retrieve the specimens. Hey, one of the guys survived. Look, it's Jameson. You're like,
Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah, so... Jameson, Joe. Everyone knows Joe Jane, Jonah Jameson. Obviously, you know, Daily Bugle guy and Spider-Man's a menace, all that sort of shit. Well, his son in the comics is John Jameson, and he's an astronaut.
He was in Spider-Man 3. He was Mary Jane's boyfriend for a while, and actually brought the symbiote back in that one as well.
Yeah, and he becomes Man-Wolf in the comics, and at one point he is bonded to the Carnage symbiote as well for like, you know, 5 minutes. But anyway,
let's see how long Woody Harrelson gets to hold on to it for.
Yeah.
he screws up in that contract negotiation, he's not going to be able to hold on to it very long.
That's if they can even get Tom Hardy to come back. Or maybe they could do a standalone Carnage movie. They don't even need Venom.
I guarantee you they're all signed for a second film.
Except for poor Jenny Slate, who died.
Oh, yeah.
Jenny Slate. I love her as a stand-up comic. She's a great writer. She played the doctor. Dr. Skirt or Skip or whatever she
was. I think female scientist, and her name is Dr. Skirt.
Yeah, Dr. Skirt. Oh. But no, I love Jenny Slate. And as like, as soon as it opened, I'm like, oh, poor thing. She's not going to make it to Venom 2.
No.
Like, all I could think of in my mind is, better not get attached to anybody I do like, because they're going to get killed off in this flick.
One thing that drove me nuts about the first trailer of Venom that we saw is we heard Jenny Slate pronouncing it symbiote, and I personally went nuts on Twitter. Yeah. I don't know how big of a deal other people were making about the symbiote pronunciation, but I was shocked that there was none of that in the movie. They looped all that dialogue out. It's symbiote on every reference.
You know what else I loved? Dr. Dan. They're gonna have to bring his ass back. He's from Veep.
Oh, I didn't know that. But...
He plays Dan hilarious. In Veep.
Thank you.
His I'm name was the same exact like, name.
Who is he? Yeah, that's who it is.
Excellent. He plays the asshole comms director from Veep who has all the lobbyist connections.
He's always he's the ambitious one, always going up against my girl, whatever her name is.
What is her name? The girl from My Girl that plays
Anna.
Is it Elizabeth something?
No.
She's cute as hell. Oh, we're all dying on the vine on this one.
I know. It's
but once again, playing the same character in a different film, in a different genre. I want to see.
Chlumsky.
There you go.
What's her name?
Yeah.
Anna Chlumsky.
You're not saying that right.
No, Chlumsky.
Chlumsky. Chlumsky? My Girl is exactly correct.
Yeah.
Side note, first movie I ever went on a date on, My Girl. Thank you very much.
How far did you get during My Girl?
Hand-holding and light kissing.
That's nice. Pretty good, dude.
It's an event when someone's going to die on screen. Yeah. You're going to pull it off. Much like Jerry and Schindler's List. You got to find out where you're going to make out at. You ever see that episode of Seinfeld?
Oh, yeah.
She's like, he made out during Schindler's List. Your son is horrible. He's horrible. That's a great one. Anyway, you would do some shit like making out during Schindler's List.
Probably. I'm sure I've done it during worse movies than that.
I didn't know what to do with myself when a girl dragged me to Titanic. I was just like...
You're just done?
Yeah.
You know what would be bad?
And then I had to grapple with the feelings of that Kate Winslet scene. And I'm like, you know, you're in that moment. And then you get the old lady and it's like, what the fuck just happened?
Man, I found that in the spank bank, but then there's that.
Ah! Yeah, this is all messed up in my brain, and then there's also this nice girl next to me. And I don't know what's happening.
Thank God Venom didn't have any of those moments.
Yeah,
because I can't see
Billy.
A movie.
Billy Zane would have been Venom in like 2002.
Billy Zane would still be a great Venom. Billy Zane could have been Carnage. He's age appropriate. He couldn't grow the hair.
Would it have been him or Brendan Fraser?
Oh. Brendan Fraser is Venom with Billy Zane as Carnage. There we go.
Since this whole thing does feel like 90s movies, you do get Woody Harrelson because he's a throwback to the 90s anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
I just want to point out that there was one major issue that I had with the cinematography, or maybe not even the cinematography, the makeup and hair stylist on this film. Nobody ever rode a fucking motorcycle with a chick. Because she goes from one scene having a helmet on her fucking head to the next scene, her hair is fucking perfect as they're going at it.
Wait, that does not happen. Wait, which part?
When Eddie takes Anne on the bike, when they have date night, they go home, and he made a point, said, bring your helmet, and then they're on the bike later, she had a helmet, and then they show up in the house, and they're making out against the wall and throwing each other around, and her hair is fucking perfect, and that doesn't fucking happen. Just no. Yeah,
you know what though? This is a common. This happens all the time in movies. You don't. You and I have both probably made out with a girl after we've gotten off a motorcycle.
Sure, we'll leave it at just made out.
Okay, we'll leave it at just made out. But there's never.
And then we took our helmets off.
There was
a couple times. But one of our good friends, Carmen, once said, "She goes, I've never felt sexy getting off my motorcycle. I always feel like a wet rat." She rides hard, and when a woman rides hard on a bike, she pulls it off. There's just a mop of sweat and hair.
And the hair is it's either wet, matted down, or it's going every which direction, or it's a combination of two. It is not perfect like her fucking hair was in that scene.
Comes off of that scene. Yeah. You can't ever do that. I mean, there's no way you could ever get a guy to buy a motorcycle if they showed what women really looked like when they got off a motorcycle. You couldn't.
That's
do
why
it.
The that's why the Venom symbiote to attach to her. it saw that she had genetic superior hair.
You know what I? Yeah. You know what I do have to note. One or a couple of our movie mates really dug female Venom.
Oh, I dug female Venom. I got a point where I don't know how bad it was on your end of the row.
Now, I was next to Sam, thank God, who is female, for the listeners who don't know. But, ew. I mean, because when we got out of that film, first thing that George was like, he's like, dude, you check out that female Venom?
Yeah.
That was pretty great. And I'm like, whoa, bro, I'm going to go stand over here by the door.
I was sitting next to George, and it's like ill-advised to have, like, I don't know exactly how much, like, what the total weight of dude in, like, one of those two-seat recliners is, but we're probably pushing 700 pounds. And yeah, we were like very sweaty by the time that movie was
over. Oh my God!
It was sweaty.
We looked like we had just gotten off of a motorcycle.
Oh my Lord.
That theater was a little warm.
Is that what you're going to call it? But I think George really enjoyed that scene.
Well, there was that too. He was like elbowing me. It's like, George, it's not that great. George.
The other crazy thing about Lady Venom is that on the way into the theater, they handed us a comic, like a little
commemorative
promotional movie tie-in comic. That was based on some scenes out of the movie, and it straight up spoils the Lady Venom scene if you had read it while you were waiting for the movie to start.
You know what though? They knew true nerds like us would leave it untouched.
That's right.
Unopened. I didn't want to touch it. I didn't open it. I didn't anything. I went home. I set it in my box, my comic box. I'm like, I'll read someone else's. I'm not going to read mine.
Send it to Yoshi. He'll do it. Use it for the next episode of his Bag and Board show. Well, while we're talking about Anne, with Michelle Williams, I was just a bit surprised she even like signed on to be in this movie, to be honest. Because
how many offers do you think Michelle Williams is getting for movies right now? Yeah. She can't say no.
She's an Academy Award winner, right? Didn't she win for
She did excellent. She carried the character as all could be. But I don't think...
She's a four-time nominee, for Manchester by the Sea, My Week with Marilyn, Blue Valentine, and Brokeback Mountain.
So she's the Buffalo Bills of the Academy Awards.
Yeah, she really is.
I had a feeling she'd won. I don't know why.
Yeah, I thought so too, but I guess not.
Can her and Tom Hardy carry another film? Because that's the talent. It's right there.
Well, Woody Harrelson, when he's... engaged, can carry a film too.
But their chemistry was okay. But here's the thing: like, I've been a shitty journalist who lives with a sexy lawyer lady, and if had I gone through,
oh my God, it's right.
had I at any point gone through her emails and like used privileged documents in my reporting, that would not have. Like, she would not have, like...
Carnage would have described what the police report said.
She would not have given a shit if an alien was eating my organs. I would say that.
I never thought about that.
She would have already extrapolated your organs from inside of your body to the out. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, Venom would not be able to eat my liver because she would have removed it.
It would have been easy access.
Is that why you love DC so much? I never really thought about that. DC is all about journalism and the media.
Peter Parker's Marvel guy.
And then
Superman's a journalist, but
Lois Lane's a journalist.
No, Lois Lane's a journalist.
Supergirl's a journalist.
Yeah.
Can you get outside the Superman?
But Spider-Man is also a journalist. You've got a journalistic component on the Marvel side as well.
He's a photog, is it?
But
Eddie
Brock is also Marvel.
Yeah, Eddie Brock is...
No, I'm talking about his connection to comic books.
Yeah.
Why Tim Abney loves comic books.
No, my connection to journalism is not that strong.
If you've seen his blog, you know that.
Yeah, I know I do... Like I remember enough from school to understand that it is a huge ethical breach to steal documents from your girlfriend's email.
Not only that, but let's talk about the fact that her email and password security on privileged documentation was so lax that he could guess it in one try.
Yeah. No bio, no multi-factor authentication.
In that moment, I felt like maybe she had already told it to him. That's the only thing. Because if he really had just guessed it, that's pretty weak.
You're filling in the story in your mind.
Yeah, it's true.
But you're also, would your wife have let you know her password to her laptop that contained confidential information? Work laptop?
I feel like had I wanted to get into her emails, I mean, she doesn't work for the law firm anymore, but even if I had wanted to get into her emails, I probably could have done it. But that's only because also if you're married, you're like, there is like a marital privilege in the legal profession. Mm-hmm. And even so, like I just wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the 40 minutes they cut out. That was Tom Hardy's favorites. Just him sitting in front of the computer typing in passwords.
No. Yeah. That'd be hilarious. You know, he's having an ethical dilemma. He's like reaching for the enter key and then he pulls back. He reaches for the enter key and pulls back. He's like, that was some of my best work. You're like, fuck you, Tom. Get out of here. We're cutting this in the floor. It's time for, we need to get to the end of the credits. We have mid-credits and end-credits that we have to put together.
The director's like, Tom, what would happen if we cut this scene? Tom's like, it would be extremely painful.
There goes my Academy Award. It's like Reynolds says
like
in Deadpool.
Like we said before, the movie's not amazing, but I thought it was definitely funny. Not clever funny or sort of like, oh, it's so hilarious or anything like that. But it had me legit laughing at Tom.
It had one amazing joke. Pulled off with excellent timing. And it was the jump. And then he goes, ding, elevator button, pussy.
It was juvenile humor, but it worked.
So good.
That whole thing of like, I mean, it's set up this big fight scene and like that whole thing in the lobby with the smoke and the guns, like that. Those were the things. They didn't show us any of that in the trailers.
Yeah.
And I thought that was what Venom looked the coolest. He looked really badass in those scenes.
I actually thought they did a good job with making Venom look good, considering it had to be an all CGI character. It was not as bad as it could have been.
The blend was good between human and CGI. The blend was really good.
Yeah. And it always felt like there was a guy in there.
Up until the point where they were all fighting.
But yeah, right at the end.
That's one part where I will be like, I didn't really like that bit. But I mean, it was sort of short and to the point. So it wasn't just, like, it was the big CGI monster versus the other big CGI monster. But it was only for like a minute or two.
Yeah,
so.
Backing up to the tower scene, he drops off the phone with the note that says like this is the proof. Does that ever go anywhere? Is that just how he winds up getting a job in journalism later? Or
I thought he picked up the newspaper and it said something about that.
A little payoff there, but mostly it's just about advancing the plot.
I got my job back. I got
everything. So you say, like, I'm gonna focus on the written word.
I think that Tom Hardy is trying to be our present day Clint Eastwood. I think that's what he's trying to reach for.
And Venom is just his like any which way but loose.
Yeah, kind of like he's doing that. He's got to show that he's got he can do a couple minutes. I'm telling you, there's gonna be a Tom Hardy cut of this movie.
Oh yeah. They definitely will. they'll do a
the DVD bumper.
Yeah, they'll do like an extended edition director's cut R-rated thing. I'm sure of it. Especially because like they have done before with other, like we said, those movies from the early 2000s. That was sort of all the big thing. Like they did do a Daredevil director's cut, which does actually make the movie a lot better.
And it has Coolio.
And things like that. So it wouldn't. I'd be very surprised if the Blu-ray or whatever doesn't either doesn't come with two versions, or they release one later on just to be like, and there'll be more like. I could tell already. Like when watching the movie, when the Venom in Eddie's head was talking to him and stuff, and there's a lot of things of like, who the hell is this guy and what the hell is that? You know that originally it was probably like, who the fuck is this guy and what the fuck is that? There'd be a lot of that,
and,
I think.
And I don't know that it would have made the movie better.
You don't think so?
No.
No.
Yeah, it's hard to... I mean, I think maybe...
increased violence would have been. I wanted to see him eat more of those guys in there. Yeah. When he came out of that elevator, some violence, like, some gore some protein. Would be cool.
I did think it was funny, too, when he was like... the first time that Venom starts to sort of come out of Eddie, and you just hear that, like, Eddie, and he just shits himself and falls back into the bath. I don't know. That just made me laugh. And when he's beating up the goons in the apartment, and Venom's like, let's bite their heads off and pile them all up in the corner.
That was good. What do you mean? Just, I mean, a pile of heads.
It's weird. It's fucked up and dark shit, but it was funny. It was because it's a bit different, you know? Like, Spider-Man's not going to do that.
And I do like that they also paid that off later. We're like, listen, we're going to have some ground rules about who you can and can't eat. And then when they're in the convenience store, it goes, that one? Yeah.
That one, you can eat that guy.
Well, that's a good example of like what Tim was talking about before, where like Suicide Squad sort of seemed to be setting up this little story thing for Captain Boomerang with the unicorn, and then they didn't bother paying it off. Whereas this movie does, it sets up, like everyone saw that scene in the trailer, where he's like, you know, we'll eat your arms and then your legs and you'll be a turd and all this kind of stuff. And it sort of started at the beginning of the movie, and it's like, oh, hang on a minute. He hasn't even got the Venom yet. And it's like, oh, okay. And then straight away with that scene, you knew that was going to be the end of the movie.
That
it was going to come back around, and then he would like that sort of the robber guy would get his comeuppance at the end. And so that's what they did. And that's how it should be done.
We also knew that from the trailer, because you saw him meet him in the trailer.
Yeah, I know, but like that scene, we had seen that scene in the trailer.
You had seen that scene in RoboCop, okay? That lighting, but that same
seen
thing.
That
that's
in the trailer, but we didn't. Nobody thought it would be the final scene.
How
but
many
once
scenes
you saw
have we
the
seen?
Setup scene earlier in the movie. I think most people then went, "Oh, okay, he's going to come back later." It's like the guy with the loud guitar. Like it sort of. It was a bit like The Mask, you know. Jim Carrey has all these people, like the auto repair guys, like screw him over with his the repairs, and the lady, the landlord lady gives him shit, and then
anally rapes a guy with the tailpipe of a.
Yeah, he gets his comeuppance.
All like that's a sex crime.
Fucked him over.
Not in '97.
You could just shove a tailpipe up your mechanic's ass. This guy's kind of deserved it.
94, dude.
94.
humor is a bit softer than that, I thought. But the mask in the comics is more like Venom than Venom. the mask in the comics is fucking psychopath, like mass murderer, deluxe. It's not Jim Carrey bopping around with Cameron Diaz.
Whatever happened to Cameron Diaz?
The mask is still her best role.
Oh, okay.
Well, she had a career based on her looks, and so when you...
Hey, she's Cuban. She gets a couple extra years.
Yeah.
Can I say how happy I was with the end credits?
With the... Oh, I thought the episode... See, for me, Carnage, like, ruined the movie. Like, I was sort of on the fence about what was going to happen with... Are you talking about
that ooh that you just heard from Mateo? Is I just showed him a recent picture of Cameron Diaz.
It's just not a good picture.
The lighting is harsh. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. She's still like, you know, a good looking woman. But when your fame and is based on your looks, well, when that goes away, you need some talent. And well, does she really have any? I don't know. Compared to other actresses her age, no, not really. Like, so yeah, like Megan Fox. What's going to happen to her in like 5-10 years?
What happened to her now? She's not even getting any work now.
There you go. No. Exactly.
Greg makes a great point. Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda have that thing on Netflix, and they're both like 75 and 80 respectively. They're killing it because they're great actresses, not because they're it looks. Exactly. Jane Fonda is still beautiful. They both of them can knock it out of the park with a script.
Yeah, Marissa Tomei still gets parts here.
Well, we still knock that out of the park.
Have you seen The Ant? Oh my God, The Ant is amazing. This is a great line. But, so Carnage enters the scene mid-credits.
Well, so are you talking about the credit sequence itself, or are you talking about the stingers?
He's talking about the Stingers. He really likes the last one.
The Carnage thing was so obvious. Yeah. And it felt so forced. And when I saw it was going to be Woody Harrelson, like there's certain moments, like in the first Fantastic Beast movie, when we realized that this franchise villain is going to be Johnny Depp, you know, that he's Grindelwald. It was such a gut punch because just Johnny Depp just didn't seem like a good choice at the time. And I hope I'm wrong. He's you know, returns to like Jack Sparrow form for this role, but Woody Harrelson as Carnage felt just as disappointing to me because I feel like I've had a little too much of him recently.
Because of Solo?
Yeah, probably because of Solo. I liked him as Solo. I didn't like his name, but I thought he did a pretty passable job in Solo. But
do you like Cletus Cassidy better than Tobias Beckett?
Oh, Cletus Cassidy, sure. I mean, that does kind of sound like a millennial baby name. Like
and, Cassidy with a K as well.
Right. But it'd be like K-A-S-S-I-D-E-E, I think, would be the...
For a girl.
Cletus Cassidy is your millennial girl's name.
I thought, like, I wasn't expecting any Carnage in the movie. I don't know why. I probably should have. But once... Even when he said, "Oh, I got an interview with this person," you'll have to wait and see who it is. I didn't sort of think, "Oh, it's him." But then, as soon as you see him heading towards a prison, I was like, "Oh, he's gonna see Cletus." So, but I and then when I saw it was Woody Harrelson, I was actually like, "Oh, all right, yeah, okay." So, because I know a lot of fans what's his name? The guy, Tim, you know his name. He was Rorschach. In Watchmen.
Jackie Earl Haley. Yeah.
Jackie Earl Haley. A lot of people.
That would be better.
But he's doing... he was filming something else, I thought. He's got a couple other things.
He should be in the HBO Watchmen. He's such a good Rorschach.
Yeah. The only thing you see him is... I know, like, once you get the symbiote, you can be any size, but, like, he's so tiny. So, like...
But Tom Hardy's a little guy too. He's not quite Tom Cruise.
But Eddie Brock isn't like this massive serial killer who's killed like 30 people or something. So like not that you have to be huge to kill people, but.
But I think in the comics, Cletus Cassidy is like he's not short, but he's wiry.
Yeah,
you gotta be strong enough to carry a body.
Kind of guy, yeah, yeah. Not that it matters. Again, if they said if Haley, whatever his name is, I was going to say Haley Joel Osment.
Haley Joel Osment. I would have popped for Haley Joel Osment's Carnage.
If it was Haley Joel Osment,
hell yeah,
or Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, see,
if it was Macaulay Culkin,
even Kieran Culkin. I Woody Harrelson seems too old to me, in a weird way because he's not an old guy. He's not like Cletus Cassidy's not a grandpa.
And you could have put Macaulay Culkin in that row and not mess with his hair. Have you seen his current hair?
I haven't seen it. Woody Harrelson seems so.
That would be a hell of a return to the screen.
Seems so inside the box, and I'm surprised he's not already somebody in the Marvel universe.
Or the kid that played Weasley.
Oh, Rupert Grint. Oh, sure, yeah.
He's small enough. See, that's the right size.
He's kind of tall, I thought. I thought,
but he's not the stature, the weight of him, right? He's like, 45?
I'm willing to give Woody a chance at it. Like,
yeah.
I think that seems
as long as he doesn't have an overdose or anything between now and the filming, life is good.
It's not like he hasn't played a serial killer.
He's a weed guy, though, right?
Yeah.
He's like not an OD at Willie Nelson's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's not like Woody hasn't played a serial killer before.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's the thing is we've seen it.
Natural born killers. So.
You know, yeah. we don't need to see serial killer Woody Harrelson again. That's a tall twister.
He'll have red goo. Come on.
Yeah, but then the combination of that and just the hair, and I don't maybe nobody else made that James Holmes connection like I did, but
it's
this indelible image of this guy with his hair, you know, and you make him a serial killer, and it just.
See what they do. You know, it was a 30-second, you know, teaser that they probably slapped together. I don't know that they really thought about all that. I think the heavy-handed thing is saying that there will be carnage. Like,
well, yeah.
I would have rather hit him not rather than writing Eddie in blood. Had that just said carnage there,
would have been cooler.
That would have been something just been a little
subtler.
Yeah. So without him having to say the line, the saying the line is what made that.
It's heavy. You'd almost like in the, it's like in the end of Ant-Man. Like she opens up the thing and sees a costume with the wings. It's just like hey, it looks like a wasp.
Yeah. It looks like
a wasp. Like they could just do it with every single one of these stingers, where you just say like the very obvious thing that you're teasing.
Did you just make a stinger wasp connection again?
Instead of that's the word.
That's right. Some deft wordplay on that part. I'll take credit for it.
But I think back to the one Mateo was talking about is he wanted to talk about the end of the Spider-Verse teaser at the end.
Oh my god, it was so good!
And to me, that took the wind out of Venom too because it was so good. But I felt like Into the Spider-Verse looks like what happens when we could take all these Spider-Man characters and really just have fun with them.
First off, before the movie, the new trailer came out, and it was freaking great. And then the stinger at the end was amazing because it looks like you're getting poured into a comic book.
Yeah,
animation is the special love of people who love comic books, and it was just pouring it right into it.
And it feels like a style of animation like we've never seen before. Like I feel like I've never seen anything quite like
that.
It looked almost like, because we had the trailer for the Spider-Verse movie before Venom came on.
Certainly.
And it had it all, with Miles and then at the end, I'm Gwen Stacy. It's like, yeah. I was like, just watching the movie going like, I've got all these statues in my cupboard.
Miles, and Spider-Ham, I was like, yes!
Gwen Stacy, they're all there. The animation of that almost looked, it's sort of like stilted or like it was sort of jumping frames a little bit here and there, but
it felt to me like it was jumping from panel to panel.
Yeah.
What I liked about it. It's like panel.
It had that animation. It was trying to like blend like just regular animation with like a stop motion.
It had them all.
Play. Like it was a really unique, I like the unique style that it seemed to have.
Each of the characters was I was laughing my ass off through the whole thing for a couple reasons. Each of the characters had their own animation style. Miles, Peter Parker, Gwen Stacy, each of them, and then Miki Miyako, what is her name? The one that's the anime one who has the spider mech.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
She was like a six run, literally, but it was total manga gene. Like early anime, a little bit like Cowboy Bebop is how she's drawn. Then Disney for Spider-Ham, where he's kind of goofy. And then my favorite part of that whole thing, printer marks. Did you not notice? As they would stop and slow down, you could see the dots, like in a comic book printing.
Oh, sure.
They would slow down.
Like a halftone?
That halftone, you would stop and see it for a second, and it would slow down, and then speed back up again. I'm like, oh, good. Every time they would throw something, that would be the little word would shoot outside of it. Whip, whop. I was like, ah, thank you very much. Don't walk away. Like it is kind of like Batman circa, like Adam West, like da da da, bash. But there's a cuteness. I mean, there's a certain. What is it? Is it nostalgia? Is it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I guess if you're going to make a comic, let's make a comic.
Well, it's because we don't see these characters like that on screen. It's always Peter Parker. So, like, people are sitting there going, like, especially you, Mateo. Like, I still, when the trailer started, I'm like, oh, here we go. I sort of you straight away because obviously your son.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Which you know, I take like, credit for. I still take credit for that.
Like, yeah. And they're like, well, we haven't seen that before. And we haven't seen Gwen. We haven't seen Spider-Gwen. And we haven't seen the 2099 Spider-Man and all that sort of stuff. Like, it's
what's that one? People have been Spider-Noir, reading. Isn't it?
Was 2099, was he in there? Because I missed him. Is he going to be
in
there?
He had a hat on, I think.
I think he's going to be in it.
Because I was all about those 2099 comics for a minute.
Isn't that him jumping down and he's black and purple?
No, that was a villain. I thought.
No.
I didn't see Spider-Man 2099. I just thought he would be in it. But because they're doing all that stuff and it's like a new thing. So people are like, oh wow. And the animation, like you guys said, it's different. It is CGI, but it looks like 2D Iron Giant animation at the same time. So it's sort of wow. It looks pretty cool.
But to me, when I saw this trailer, it's a reminder of the the richness of just the Spider-Man slice of the Marvel Universe.
There's a lot.
Oh yeah, it's very deep, and I think that that's going to be a really good movie. But at the same time, contrasting that against Venom, which really they didn't want to invest enough in Venom to give us some better characters. They just kind of pulled out some D-list aliens.
And, throw them at them.
Yeah, and sort of made up their own, you know, generic CEO bad guy. And it didn't feel like it was just a reminder, I guess, of the lack of ambition that we just saw in Venom. And so having seen that, it just kind of made me sad.
Yeah, I got the feeling they were trying to, like, the focus is meant to be on all the different Spider-Men, as opposed to, oh, he's going to go up against Doc Ock or Vulture or something. Like, they want to focus on this is a Spider-Man movie as opposed to who's like the Batman, you know, the Burton Schumacher movies. It was all sort of about who's Batman going to go up against. It's like, well, why don't you give us an actual Batman movie about Batman? Whereas the Spider-Man movies now, obviously they've sort of fixed that problem, but they were a little bit like that as well.
You know, I think who fixed that problem the best is that if you look at Punisher and Daredevil on screen and you look at Punisher and Daredevil on Netflix, you get to, and on Netflix, they realize if you're going to play a character over 40 hours, you can develop the character as deeply as you want.
Not my Punisher, Matt.
Not my Punisher?
Hashtag not my Punisher.
You didn't think Netflix Punisher?
Tom Jane.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
He's still holding by that.
Yeah.
But I mean, look at the Daredevil flick. You get a deep understanding on Netflix. You're like, oh, I get him. I understand why he's doing his thing. Not freaking Elektra jumping through the night with Daredevil running after her the whole bit. You get, like, you get a flick about Daredevil. So.
Yeah. I mean, like we said, this Venom movie, it is sort of light on character development and stuff like that, but yeah, I still go back to that quote or that review that I saw where they were like, yeah, it's Little Shop of Horrors with the Jim Carrey 90s styled buddy cop kind of thing. Well, yeah.
And it did, it really, if it plays well as kind of a screwball comedy with some decent action scenes.
I did like that they didn't have the scene in it where, I mean, they teased it where the MRI shoots, like, gets the Venom symbiote out of him and it then before it sneaks off and, you know, gets into the dog and all that sort of stuff. But normally in these movies, and like we said, Little Shop of Horrors and things like that, it's like, well, you need me and I need you and we're a team. And then you can see, like, hang on a minute, this thing that's giving me power and making me feel awesome, it's using me, and this is going to be bad for me in the end of it. Like, by the end of Venom, they're like, no, we're good. We're buddies. We're friends now. Like, they don't have that thing where Eddie rejects Venom and I don't need you. You were just using me and that sort of thing. Like, so they do sort of, because obviously they want to make 400 movies.
But they can save that for later. That's something you can always do.
They do have this moment where Eddie's like, hang on a second, Venom. Were you going to go in the spaceship and bring all your buddies back to Earth and, like, feed us all to them? And Venom's like, well, yeah, but not anymore. and Eddie's like, all right. I'm good with it.
There was that. And then another line that I like from Venom was when Eddie's trying to go, no, I'm not getting in the car with you. And Venom's like, I like her. Get in the car. He gets in the car.
Wait, I laughed at the end.
I just figured it out. The only person that... This is Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
It's Lethal Weapon. What
Greg's been saying all along.
He said the buddy cop thing for a while. The only thing is that neither of them is getting too old for this shit.
Yeah. One of them is black.
Oh! But Venom is Riggs. Like, Murtaugh is like Eddie.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I did laugh at the end. I think I was the only person in the theater that actually, like laughed out loud at the end when Eddie's sitting there talking to Anne and you just hear Venom in his head being like, oh, look, she doesn't even know that we're going to get her back. Like, you know, like, oh. Like,
oh yeah, that was my other big now question
Venom
about
is in love with Anne as well. You know, I was like, oh no.
My other big question about sexy Lady Venom is that when they kiss and exchange the symbiote, like, is that technically a threesome? Because I mean, he's up in some places.
Yeah. Yep, he was both of them at the same time, I guess.
Oh, and one other thing I want to shout out is during the action climax of this movie, we get a full on Roman Reigns Superman punch.
Yes, I noticed that too. Yep.
Wait.
I was sitting there thinking, "Oh my God, Superman punch!"
Yeah.
But if he really should have done it like six more times.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And cocked the fist.
If he had done the Superman punch and then thrown a spear at him, then it would have been perfect.
Or just had then gone full Venom in the suit and been like, ooh, ah, like he does.
Yeah, the reason why it didn't work is because he didn't cock his fist, obviously.
The Roman Reigns symbol actually looks like a Venom symbol in a lot of ways.
It kind of does, yeah. That's scary to think about.
Yeah.
Before we leave, what happens now? Is there any chance of seeing a sequel with Carnage? Do we get a movie crossing over with Spider-Man? What happens now?
The box office is good for Venom so far. Like, it broke a record, and it was up against the Lady Gaga movie A Star Is Born, which like is also a pretty big draw on its own.
Every guy in America went to see Venom, and every chick went to see Star Is Born.
I don't know if it exactly breaks down that way, but probably.
Look around that movie theater when we walked out. It was all dudes.
It was all dudes in Venom. But I think you're not thinking about who's in Lady Gaga's fan base.
My wife.
It's not just chicks.
Oh, yeah. That's
the surprising was which movie Mateo ended up seeing.
I want to see Lady Gaga play.
I feel like we saw that whole movie in the first trailer. Like it seems like that kind of.
We've seen it twice before. We've seen it with Judy Garland. We've seen it with Barbara Streisand. We've seen this movie before. So.
I'm sure it's enjoyable, but I feel like they really just gave away the whole story.
You can be ugly and amazing.
It's 8 Mile for Lady Gaga.
It's 8 Mile. Speaking of which, okay, here's your
new Suicide Squad thing.
New Life Cameron Diaz. Ooh, camera's still high. thank God for a good soundtrack. I'll give Venom the soundtrack edge. Suck. I mean,
it's not a Suicide Squad soundtrack, but it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
It needed more hush.
Eminem hit it hard. There's like a whole, I guess the Eminem video is doing really well.
It's an interesting video if you haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet, but apparently it's doing
the song is not Eminem's best work. It was clearly the I'm getting paid to make a song for Venom. Okay, let me see how many times I can say Venom.
Yeah. I'll do it for the payoff. Yeah.
And words that rhyme with Venom.
you gotta love that Eminem, like earlier in his career, like talked a lot of shit on Will Smith, and now he's basically doing the Will Smith thing of like making a song for a movie.
Well, no, one of Eminem's big early songs with Dr. Dre was from a Will Smith movie. Bad Guys Always Die from Wild Wild West.
Oh, really?
Was right after the first the Slim Shady LP.
Yeah, but nobody saw that movie, so nobody remembers.
Kevin Smith remembers.
Kevin Smith remembers.
Kevin Smith remembers the giant
Kevin Smith's career remembers.
Yeah, we nearly went the whole show, Tim. Well done.
Thank you.
So we're going to... You guys are going to drag me to another Venom, and I'm going to go.
Well, but I think we get a second Venom movie. I think they've got to make good on the Woody Harrelson thing. They get Tom Hardy for one more. I don't think they get Spider-Man.
No,
but I don't know what they're doing. Is the Silver and Black movie still happening?
What movie is that?
How great would it be?
Silver, Sable, and Black Cat.
If in the opening sequence of the next Venom. They just allude to the fact that they met Spider-Man. He's like, I met this guy.
Yeah.
He gave me all these new tricks. Watch. Boom. Web. Go through buildings and does an entire Spider-Man sequence.
It seems like they would do the thing where, like, you know, some kid sees Venom in the street and is like, Spider-Man? And then Venom eats the kid.
Eddie reads the news about what happens in Avengers or something, like in a paper.
Yeah.
It just has some shots. They just get them. Okay.
And he's like, I can do that, Eddie. Watch. Boom, right through a building. Okay,
just be like, that's not impressive. And then he just like covers some chicken like webbing or something like that.
Oh, it like Venom. a la The Blob, like the worst scene ever.
Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, my God. Okay, so we spent money, we saw a movie, and we feel nonplussed about it. At least that's how I feel. But oh, shit. Do I need to Venmo you some money?
Yes, you do. But aside from that, you know, nonplussed. I'm not upset or disappointed in going to see it. Like, I thought I was going to walk out miserable, ready to spend this podcast shitting on everything they did. And really, it was lackluster. It wasn't outstanding, but it wasn't a waste of my time, and I wasn't upset having spent money on it.
Here we go, though. Is it just going to see a movie, or is it because we hang with our friends? We're all hanging out. We're all having fun. We're all stealing Mateo's popcorn. Everyone's having a good time. And you get to see a movie.
Well, the stealing your popcorn is really... I've perfected that maneuver now. But I'd watch it again.
I don't cut a hole in the box.
I think
you just steal my popcorn.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be... I mean, like, I've seen a lot of superhero movies that I was pretty stoked about the first time that I've gone back and watched again and was like, oh God, what was wrong with me? And yes, Suicide Squad is on that list. X-Men Origins Wolverine is another one. And I think Venom is going to fall into that camp. I think that you go watch it again, and I think it's when the jokes kind of wear off, when it doesn't work as well as a screwball comedy because you know what's going to happen. Like, I just don't think it's going to hold up.
I don't know that it's going to hold up as a good movie. I don't think I view it as a good movie now. But my standard at this point is I'll watch it again. If it comes on TV, it's not one of those ones where, oh God, I'm changing the channel.
It's PG-13, so it can end up on planes. It's going to end up on TBS in the middle of the night. It's going to be it's fully formatted and ready to go.
And it's one of those ones where, you know, if I see it at a decent price, maybe I'd buy the
Blu-ray. No, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
Here's the thing. Because it's Sony, you know, like, first of all, they did a good job with the 3D. Sony does 3D so much better than Disney. It's like Disney is pathetic in that.
Yeah, we didn't mention that we all saw 3D, which was, yeah. I did like the 3D. Right. It wasn't, I expected that there was going to be a bunch of like, you know, we know we're doing this for 3D, where it's going to, you know, Thor's hammer coming straight at your face type thing. And there wasn't a ton of that, which I appreciated.
I hate the 3D filler portions of movies, where you jump on the back of an animal and fly through a tunnel just so you can have it for the 3D film. Or the bullets come flying straight out of the film. When you see it in 2D, you're like, okay, this is 5 minutes I did not have to have in the 2D version.
But, you know, there's stuff like, I don't think that the chase scene where he's on the bike and stuff, I thought that was a decent scene. They made good use of
it. It wasn't gratuitous. It was well-defined.
And they made the Venom powers work well with that. You know, there was some stuff that was okay with this film that, you know, is why I say it's watchable again. Maybe you're right. Maybe after, you know, once or twice more, it's crap. But there's not a lot of movies that I'll watch over and over again. That's a fairly high standard for me, given the amount of content that we have at our fingertips now.
We have been getting Kobe beef movies. This shit was Chuck Roast. It was delicious, but... it's not the same.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. It's definitely not on the level of the Marvel movies.
But not everything has to be. No, either, you know, like
it wasn't Vegemite.
That's what makes the Marvel. That's what makes when you do get an excellent superhero movie, like if you get Winter Soldier or you get Infinity War or whatever it is, then it stands out. You're like, oh yeah, like Venom was good, but you know, Infinity War was great. You know, and whatever else comes out. So yeah, I'd still. I don't know. They could. They probably won't. I can't see them ever doing it. But you know, it wasn't. I don't think it was bad enough that like Marvel would disown it. There's nothing really that contradicts anything in the MCU. So I mean, they could kind of sideways it in if they wanted to. If they want to use Tom Hardy as Venom, I guess. But
yeah, I don't think they're gonna
have any plans.
Yeah, it's on one hand, it is kind of disappointing that we're not going to get to see Venom as part of the Spider-Man Homecoming universe they're building. Like, we got Mysterio on deck for the next movie. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I don't think that we maybe want Venom in our Spider-Man movies anytime soon, because I think that Spider-Man 3 is still kind of the stink of that, how poorly Venom was handled, especially.
You know what would be great, though? A Tom Hardy cameo, no Venom. He walks on kind of like, no, I don't think so. Just rolls out.
Yeah, he just turns up. Yeah. They have a field trip to, where were they?
San Francisco.
San Francisco, yeah. They have a field trip to San Francisco. In the
Which there's a, comic book basis for that, too, because Venom moves to San Francisco eventually.
Mm.
Like, it gets tired of living in New York with Spider-Man and decides, I'm just going to go across the country.
He likes the bridge.
Yeah.
Better CG.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I think that might be the place to leave it. What do you think? Should we look forward to maybe a Carnage movie, maybe not. We'll see what happens.
I think we're just going to look forward to Aquaman at this point.
No.
I think we've seen the best of that movie in the trailer.
I did see the new 5-minute trailer thing that they released, and I'm like, wow, they really are doing Black Manta, and that's him. So, yeah, I liked the new trailer better than the first one.
Dude, this movie was a pile of heads.
It's so bright. It's so bright colored, and it's weird that a superhero movie can look like that.
Yeah.
You know what? With those colors, though, it's probably going to look good in 3D.
Yeah, or on one of these new HDR screens.
Yeah.
Would just be shiny orange chest metal in your face. You'll start working on your Halloween costume, Tim. You need the orange suit now. All right, well, that's it from us. So please follow us all on Twitter, starting with the show at UnfunnyNTangent. I am at GregT13. Tim is at Tim Agni, and over at attackofthedad.com. Jared is at SuperJew75, and Mateo is at Matt_Morales. But as always, all roads lead to at the Steel Cage. UnfunnyNerdTangent.com is our website, where you can click on our affiliate links to help us keep the lights on and save us from, I don't know, ending up like Spider-Man 3. You'll also
Listen, Josh is getting married in a week, and so, you know, somebody else may have some control over his finances, so we need to be cash positive for this, so you can continue to support it. So please, just click on the links. It's all we're asking. It doesn't take much.
Josh getting married means that Josh has to pay for the ridiculous amounts of alcohol that we're all going
to
drink in a week.
Is Sprung going to the wedding?
Yes.
Oh. No.
Sprung, yes.
Sprung would be didn't invite him to the wedding. That would have been awesome.
We should tell him he's not invited when he shows up. We need to pull out Tom Hardy and hack into Josh's email and say, sorry, Sprung, we're over capacity.
Sorry, bro, you can't make it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, while you're at unfunnynerdtangent.com, you can check out my 40 for 40 series as well. We're over the halfway mark now, so I'm forever creeping towards the grave as my 40th approaches. But number 20 dropped last week, which was my review of the film Aliens. And number 19 will be out in a few days. So
hey, Greg,
make sure to check that out.
Greg, yes. I'm going to throw a plug in here real quick.
Sure.
I was sick this past week, and I got to listen to 2 episodes of Dates for the first time.
Oh, there's a show that doesn't get mentioned much on this podcast.
It doesn't. It doesn't get mentioned enough. If you're sick at home and you can't move, and you want a great podcast to listen to, listen to Dates on the Steel Cage Network.
That's right. It'll heal you as fast as an alien symbiote in your knee.
No shit. No. It was really. You guys are really great. I haven't learned so much about corporate snack technology, and it was actually pretty great. So I wanted to pitch that one out as well.
Thanks, man.
Nice. Like I said, I'm waiting now for the Eyes, Lungs, Pancreas edition of Dates. Come on.
Mateo was talking about taking over a cultural tour
eyes,
of snacks.
Eyes, Lungs, Pancreas. I bet you we could find some Mexican food places that would whip us up some shit.
It's really just chorizo, the real chorizo. It's really, yeah. Just
head on down to Taco Bell. You guys out there, you can also leave us a review on iTunes. That would be awesome. And if you do, we'll make sure we read it on the show. And lastly, head to thesteelcageshop.com. As I mentioned before, we have an amazing t-shirt there that you can buy and wear and be the most popular kid, I don't know, at your school. That would be interesting. It's, of course, our Mon Milfma t-shirt. So, yeah, grab one of those as soon as you can. But in the meantime, this has been episode 59 of Unfunny Nerd Tangent. My name is Greg, and for Tim, Jared, and Matt, thanks so much for listening. And remember, kids, on our planet, we're all kind of losers too. Eddie Brock is you, and I'm the suit, so call me Venom. I got that
Unfunny Nerd Tangent.